People of the world, this is the Brothers Talk with your hosts, Rod, Scott, and Norm. Tune in each Friday wherever you listen to your favorite podcast or on our website to hear us, three black, unfiltered African-American men with no strings attached, as we give voice to the most feared, most misunderstood, and most rarely heard from segment of the population on topics of interest to us for education, enlightenment, and entertainment. You can reach us with your comments, questions, and suggestions at The Brothers Talk on Twitter, The Brothers Talk on Instagram, and the Facebook group of the same name. And if you want to share in more detail, hit us up at the email address, thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. You can also get more of us by watching The Brothers Talk show on Millennium TV's M24 streaming news station. Good day to the Brothers Talk family, and let's stay on the road to recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic. And while we're on that tip, we're keeping the focus on Black economic empowerment and critical thinking. Thank you again for your time and your comments and for continuing to grow the Brothers Talk family by spreading the word. Once again, if you're new to the podcast, we're glad to have you in the mix, and we encourage you to check out what we're doing on an even larger scale with our national campaign, Relaunching Black Wall Street Nationwide, keeping the emphasis on taking control of our communities, one household at a time, with each and every one of us doing our part to support and launch Black businesses. Check out the positive impact that we've been blessed to have in our growing Facebook groups with over 4,000 members, which also includes hashtag Black Dollars Matter, where you can see hundreds of stories of Black success with entrepreneurs, young and old, in all kinds of businesses. We've also launched a new group called Black Parent University that focuses on bringing Black parents and educators together to help advocate for our kids and their parents in dealing with an educational system that continues to miserably fail our children and lessen their chances for future success. We hope the new administration will address the longstanding shortcomings, but until then, we have to do our part. So if you're a parent or guardian or an educator, or if you're just concerned or just curious about what can be done to help our kids and their parents or guardians in successfully navigating their educational pathway, check out Black Parent University on Facebook. Also, got to let you know that the hour-long The Brothers Talk show is airing on the TV streaming service M24 News. Finally, we continue to add our voices to the support of the vaccines because, one, the only way to herd immunity is to get to at least 80% vaccinated. And two, we want to keep as many of you alive as possible. And while the vaccine does not technically give you immunity, it do ensure that you won't have to be hospitalized or die from the coronavirus. Young people have shown more susceptibility to the virus mutations, and that's despite the fact that they're generally healthier. So don't jeopardize your safety and gamble with your life by believing the false belief of invulnerability. And now to my brothers in the struggle for critical thinking, Scott and Norm.
Hey, family, we really appreciate your continued support. We need you to go out there and get that vaccination, get that shot so that we can finally get rid of this virus. One of the most important things I want you to do is just keep supporting each other, uplifting each other, not putting each other down, and go out and support Black businesses. And like Rod said, I think it's critical that we as Black folks start looking at Black parents, you, so that we can change what's happening with the education of our young youth, our Black folks that's been going astray for the last 30, 40 years. And I think that Black Parents U is a solution to get us on the right track. Norm?
Thanks, Scott. Family, the Biden-Harris ticket has basically completed the first 100 days of their administration, and there's very little to show for Black America. I'm still waiting for my $2,000 check. But now we have Harris talking about this isn't a racist country, after saying that she wouldn't do anything solely for Black people. But we see there's a Asian anti-hate. Is it a bill that they were about to pass? People, don't tell me to vote if we cannot hold these politicians accountable to our community. Rod.
Today, we're going to wade into a particularly dicey topic because that's what we do and that's who we are. There's a national debate on transgender children and school sports. And let me be as clear about our premise as possible. This absolutely is not about our views on the LGBTQI community. We all have a few members of our family and friends who are loved just like our cisgender members. This conversation is about the legislation that's being put forth by Republican legislatures across the country to deny transgender athletes, particularly those who now identify as girls, from being able to compete against cisgender girls. The reason we're raising this issue is twofold. I hate to agree with the Republicans on anything because of my suspicions of their motivations. One, I have to confess that I can't get by the biological problem of those whose genetic makeup says they're male, not having physiological advantages over those who are genetically female. Genetics says human males are typically bigger, faster, and stronger than females, which would provide an edge to those who, through whatever mental makeup they now identify as female. Secondly, the defense from the left and their allies, I believe, is the wrong argument. They continue to talk about the motives of those who seek to compete. They keep saying there aren't any examples of those who decided to identify as female in order to compete against cisgender girls. That's never been the issue any more than the nonsense from the right about using bathrooms. But here's the rub. While I think the Republicans have a point about physiology, I also don't have the answer. Transgender people already have enough problems being singled out and ostracized. So I agree with the left and don't believe that adding to that by making them compete in separate categories, but I'm at a loss to understand what to do when I can see some validity on both sides.
You know, Rod, I just don't see why this is such a controversy. I understand the politics of it. Everything's always about politics, but you said it best. It's about genetics. It's about biology. You're either born with certain genes or you weren't. And I just don't see how you can decide that I'm a transgender and now I'm going to compete against girls. You're not saying that. So transgender is a different category than for males and females. So to me, the easiest solution for them to do is to create another category for them to compete in. I don't see any situations where there are transgender women who decide that I'm a male and then decide, you know what, I'm going to go in here and compete against boys because I'm a female, but I identify as a male. So now I'm going to go. I don't see any of that anywhere. So if that was happening, that's one thing, but it's not. You got these biological boys, born boys, who decided that I'm a transgender. I'm going to compete as a girl. So that means I can wake up at any time, any day, and decide that I'm transgender and compete in any female sport or category that I please, that I want to. That's just not right. It's just not logical. And I'm hoping that fair-minded people can put an end to this nonsense.
It's not about just competing. What transgender athletes are doing are changing the dynamic of the sport to the point where the women can't compete. And they see, Scott, creating a whole new category as oppression. You know, they want to be considered a woman and they want to be able to compete against women. And to create a whole nother category is just oppression to them. Basically, I see this as identity politics biting the left in the ass. Since they have been pushing this narrative so much, they have actually hurt the female athletes in this country. And that's what you see happening here. People are reacting to women's sports being impacted. And as we discussed with the black athletes last week, who are so great at their sports that rules had to be changed. That's what we're seeing here. We're seeing people come in and dominating to the point where they can't compete. Women cannot compete.
So what do? It really isn't reasonable to think that if suddenly transgender females are dominating all the cisgender female events, that there isn't going to be some really strong pushback from the parents of those cisgender girls And when it comes to children, especially white children, that pushback awfully takes on violent forms. Just look at what has happened in the cheerleader stories, and those were all cisgender girls. This is also where you see some of the greatest hypocrisy when it comes to evangelicals, because not only will they falsely claim to support separate but equal, but once and again, while literally making the transgender community potentially targets of violence, but they'll also seek to avoid them like they have the plague instead of reaching out and accepting them as the Jesus that they claim to embrace as their role model would do. And so that's a part of the problem, that if you could really have that other category, perhaps there would be a chance for it. But we just know how the white evangelicals actually respond whenever there is something that is separate. They see it as unequal, even though they'll try to claim that it's separate but equal.
You know, Norm, you mentioned that if they create another category, that transgenders feel like they're being, it seems like to mean that they're being punished or whatever. But to me, this simple solution is this. The compromise is you don't have the same genitalia as a female. You don't say I have the same hormones as a female. If you have the hormone therapy and you have the, since you're calling yourself a female, you're transgender. If you have the surgery and you have all of those things that will, so that people can identify you as a female, as opposed to you just saying psychologically, I think I'm a female, then I'm okay with you competing with females. But until that happened, if you still have the male genitalia and the hormones of a male, I just don't see how that's fair and how anyone can think that that's fair just because you psychologically say to yourself that you're a female. And you may feel like that psychologically, but physically, you're just not. And so to me, the solution is until you have the hormone treatment and the surgery, you can't compete against females because you're not a female.
And, well, the way I see it, this is just more identity politics, again, dividing the two parties. And basically, the Democrats have put all of their apples in identity politics, and this is going to come back and bite them in the ass because now it's affecting women in this country. And it's changing the dynamic of women's sports, which again will hurt them scholarship wise across the board. What are they going to do? This can't be fixed now.
And so, Scott, you were making a point to really reinforce the fact that when we talk about transgender, it's a bigger umbrella that does indeed say that these are folks who not only have had surgery, but it also is those who simply identify emotionally. And so we want to be clear that we're talking about the entire array of those, specifically those that you mentioned.
Right. Because like I said, you know, there's no situation. I don't know of any situation where someone who's calling themselves transgender is a female who decided I'm a male and then go out and try to compete against males. I don't know of any situation like that. So some of this is politic and some of it is to, I'm going to say I'm transgender so I can go out here and win something as a male, but saying I'm a female, you know, but like I said, a simple solution to that, is, if you're going to be transgender, just do the whole thing and be transsexual. Once you're transsexual and had the sex change and hormone treatment, I'm more apt to say, okay, you can compete. Even though you still have an advantage, I'm a little bit more accepting of that as opposed to you just waking up one day saying that, you know, I'm a female.
Now, Scott, they can compete against men, but they're not going to dominate and change the dynamic. The issue is what's going to happen when transgender women actually start competing professionally in women's sports. That I can't wait to see.
And of course, you have the issue really where, because transgender is such an umbrella term, that you're going to have some concerns there where those who simply say, as you said, Scott, they are identifying as female when everything else about their body is male, and then they're competing against somebody who is transsexual, who has all the hormones, they're going to have some issues to try to figure out there. So it is really a very confusing issue on every front. And that's why we wanted to raise it, because if you think you have an idea for a solution or want to share your thoughts, let us know. This is what critical thinking looks like, which means there usually isn't an easy answer. And the process involves considering multiple positions and doing your homework and then attempting to form your own conclusions. And then you have to test those conclusions against the facts and against others who are willing to engage in meaningful discourse. And so if you haven't tried it, or at least you haven't tried critical thinking recently, you really don't know what you're missing in one of the only true ways to exercise your brain. Our positive Black experience of the week this week comes from Ingenious Financial, which is a group out of Arlington, Virginia, where they've announced plans to raise $10 billion in capital to invest in unbanked and underserved communities. Darnell Parker, who's the founder of Ingenious Financial, and Derek Taylor, the chief operating officer, said $10 billion will fund the capital disbursement towards the following four initiatives. $4 billion will be for the financial institution and the holding company, be a Black bank. $5 billion will be for technology products, smartphones and broadband services and the like. $600 million will be to lease nationwide training facilities. And then the final $400 million will be to hire 500 employees nationwide to train on using smartphones and teaching financial literacy. So we want to give a major shout out to Ingenious Financial and do our best to offer to pledge to support them, and ask you to look them up and see who they are. Ingenious Financial is our positive Black experience of the week. So we want to thanks again to all of the Brothers Talk family. Remember to catch more of us on our streaming TV show on M24 News. Also, don't forget to follow us at the Brothers Talk on Twitter, Brothers Talk on Instagram, and like our Facebook page. And a quick reminder that if you also want to share more of your thoughts with us and the Brothers Talk family, there's the Brothers Talk group on Facebook. If you want more information about our 12-point Relaunching Black Wall Street Nationwide plan, or to give us direct feedback, show ideas, or questions even, you can email us, thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. God bless you all again for your time and your support. And you always have our absolute commitment that we'll never take it or you for granted. So remember, let's do better today, because that's all we really have.